keep that, Don. Be sure and keep that in there. I like those improv. Yeah, go ahead. Especially with a laugh and all that.
Yeah. Who am I? I just forgot.
Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X-Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. Your host, Brooks Agnew, believes everything we do will eventually affect the universe. He's trying to do that on purpose.
Hi, this is Winfrey, and welcome to our Monday night conference call, which is going to be called in the future a Planetary Healing Hour. And for those of you that are tuning in on BBS Radio for the first time, we are having a simulcast. We have a group of people that are on a conference line over the telephone, and we have you who are listening over the internet, and I'd like to welcome you all, and this is an experiment. Every show is an experiment, and because it's a intent to create a group energy, and a group energy not only of the people that we've talked to and that introduced themselves on the conference line, but a group energy that includes you who are listening on the internet, and not only a group energy that includes you who are listening on the internet, but a group energy that includes what I believe are these very positive intelligences on the other side of the veil that have been communicating with me, that in their communications, they said that they would be here and that they would actually monitor the people that were listening, that were open to it, and that they were available to help and assist you in your own life energetically. And later on in the call, we'll be playing some excerpts of some of my conversations with these guys. And again, just as an introduction, if you're tuning in for the first time, I'm the author, the principal author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And this was really my first introduction to the idea of group souls, writing this book. And the book makes a case that Edgar Cayce is back in the world in the form of a young man by the name of David Wilcock. And there's a huge amount of circumstances that tie David to Cayce, and those who have studied the story believe the case is made. But the really bigger case here is not that David is Cayce, but the same source that spoke through Cayce is now speaking through David. And they've explained who they are in a way that has really never been explained in the history of mankind, certain ways about how soul evolution works and who actually acts as our main guides in the other side of the veil and who is speaking through David and Cayce. Now, of course, I'm drawing conclusions for you, and I tell you that as I say these things, I hope you don't believe me. I hope you're provoked to read the book, study my websites, because this is stuff that, for most people, is pretty counter to the belief systems that they've had. Even New Age people, even me, this is a new way of understanding how things work. And, you know, when I was in the first phases of, say, incorporating this understanding, I had to be skeptical. I said, can this be real? Can I actually have tapped into something this huge? And then, of course, while I was writing the book, and I never had an experience with channeling or anything from other dimensions, I suddenly had this experience of having a new girlfriend spontaneously start the channel and tell me, those guys want to talk to you, and I'm having conversations with this voice coming through her that identifies itself as the Council of Elohim, and they said they're another group soul, and this the Elohim group soul, I looked them up on the internet, and it said the God of the Old Testament, the creator God of this realm, and I asked them, are you guys the same? And they said, yes, we're part of the same. And I said, why me? And they said, you're like a cosmic midwife. You know how to bring these things out into the world, and you don't have ego about it. So this is my way of bringing it out into the world. And later on in this call, we'll be playing some audio files where you can actually hear how this group soul identifies themselves, talks to me, and actually talks to you. There's an address they did on what we call a grid healing. So if you're hearing this terminology and you've never heard it before, group souls, grid healings, dimensional shifts, just hang in for a while and it'll all start to make sense. But for me, it started with my writing of the book, and I never dreamed what a door I was opening for myself when I started writing the book, because I had been a fan of Edgar Cayce's, you know, when I was in college, probably read 20 books about Edgar Cayce, and at the time I started reading Edgar Cayce, I would put myself under the category of being an agnostic. I didn't know what was out there, and I wasn't willing to believe anything unless I could validate it for myself. And as I read Edgar Cayce's stuff and about his life, he was the most documented psychic prophet in the history of the world. And he demonstrated abilities that definitely proved that he was onto something. He could diagnose people's illnesses using medical terms that he didn't even know in his waking consciousness. He could recommend alternative cures, and he could make predictions for the future, many of which came about. When he died, his children opened up a library of 15,000 of his transcribed readings, and from the time of his death until now, 500 books have been written about him. And Edgar Cayce believed that it was the Christ speaking through him. Now, he never quite explained what he understood the Christ to be, but and the voice speaking through him, the main voice, there were others also, but the main voice identified itself as his source. And, you know, as I uncovered this mystery, as I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the book about the young man who is allegedly the return of Cayce, the Edgar Cayce's source was now identifying themselves in a way that they could not have identified themselves to Edgar Cayce, because Edgar Cayce was a fundamentalist Christian. And he was concerned when he first started doing this channeling that perhaps there was something negative to it. And in fact, for 20 years, his source only did health readings, never did reincarnation readings, because they had to prove to him that they were positive and that he could help people. And it was only after 20 years that they started telling people how their problems were stemmed from previous lifetimes they had in this realm, and that they were working off those patterns. Now, of course, it's harder to prove that. In fact, perhaps it's impossible to prove that. So you have to take the fact that he did all these readings and the ones that he was correct in and say, maybe he was right with the reincarnation. That's what I said to myself when I was writing, when I was reading Edgar Cayce. I said, okay, I'm a physics major, I'm analytical, the guy did 20 years of health readings, so maybe there is something to this reincarnation. But I won't say that I believed it at that point. I just opened myself up to the possibility of it. So now, through David Wilcock, Edgar Cayce's source identified itself group soul that was composed of graduates of this realm. Many spiritual traditions talk about the idea of getting off the wheel of reincarnation. And this group soul said they were composed of those people, not only from our planet, but from other planets all over the place, that had graduated this lower density, and then they grouped together, and they acted as a guide and helper for planets and planetary populations still going through lower density evolutions, like ours. So this group's soul is one of the sources, according to the way they describe themselves, who has been assisting and commingling with people throughout our history. And that, say, for example, the prophets of the Old Testament, the Mayans, whose calendar ends in 2012, there's many indications that all of these people, maybe even Buddha and Krishna, I don't know, were all communicating with this group soul who was, this was their way of giving guidance to a planet at lower levels of evolution. And it wasn't to create a religion, it was to create an upliftment of energy, an interdimensional connection. Those of you who are listening are coming from all kinds of places inside of yourself. Some of you are coming from a place of evaluation. They're thinking, can this guy be onto something, or is he crazy? How does this fit with the way that I understand how things work? Some of you are coming from a place of, maybe you walked in the door, you had a hard day at work, you're still feeling that space of the day. Some of you are coming from a place of being lonely. You feel isolated and insulated, and you wonder, what are you doing here in life? There must be a higher purpose for you. There must be a reason, and what is that reason? So on this call, aside from some of this information that I'm giving you about group souls and the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there is an intent that we have been doing week after week after week, which is to actually create a group energy on this call. Now, what they've explained is a group soul starts from a bunch of people on a planet who start a group energy. Now, you know, everybody wants to experience group energy. From the guy that goes down to the bar and hopes that he meets a woman who will go home with him, to the guy that joins the neighborhood gang, to the people that go to the weekend New Age retreats or upliftment, to the people that have families and children. It's all about group energy. Most of the time, the group energies that we experience are based on finite events on the planet that begin and they end, or through a group of people on the planet that we involve ourselves with, that we feel connected with. On this call, we're working at establishing a group energy that's a little bit different than normal, because we can't see each other. Some of us have never seen each other. Some of us are sitting on our internet and tuning in for the first time. And the one thing we all have in common, aside from having bodies, is that we all exist as energy forms. Some call it a soul, some call it a spirit, but we exist separate from our bodies. Now, if this is new to you, then read my book and study some of this, but most people who are into any kind of spirituality recognize this. And the thing about our energies is that our energies are fluid. They can get bigger, They can get smaller. We can combine with other energies, or we can feel very separated. Now, our energy forms are outside of space and time, which means that they're not limited by distance. Our bodies are limited by distance. There's people on this call that are thousands of miles apart from each other. But each of us has an energy that is outside of time, and that on this call, we can have our energies commune, come together. And not only that, we can have these beings that have communicated to me, and this is new to you, so you have to explore my work. If you're feeling the energy, don't worry about what I'm saying. Let that catch up later. These energies can commune with you, and we can feel connected. Even when we can't see each other, we can feel a sense of completion moving into us and a sense of centeredness. And we can have some sense of control over the part of us that's outside of this dimension. And the basis of most group energy, all group energy, has to do with making the connection outside of this dimension. And most people need something very strong in this dimension to anchor that feeling. And in fact, when you strongly anchor something in this dimension that requires you to feel connected to a group, you know what that means? You have to reincarnate. Because when you pass, the energy form that you have on the other side feels something is missing. Because it says, where's my family? I had to do this. I left papers on the table. And so it creates a thrust to have to come back here and complete. Well, now, the completion is not so much in the thought as specific as I said, but it's the incompletion or the disconnection creates a drive to come back into this realm. And so if you don't want to keep coming back into this realm, then you have to start completing yourself, not on the basis of things in this realm. Now, you can partake of the things in this realm. You can feel the group energy in this realm. You can feel the closeness of intimacy. But you have to never forget that your biggest part of yourself is not in this realm. It's an energy that projects into this realm. And the illusion of this realm is that you have a veil that prevents you from seeing that part of yourself. So you have to learn to connect with it indirectly. You have to reverse engineer things. And if you look very sharply, you can do that, and you can see how there's a part of you that's controlling your whole life that is not here. And, I mean, psychologists recognize the unconscious, the superconscious, and we go into way beyond that, the celestial part of yourself. And our energy form is not limited. It can get as big as the person next to you, so that it includes the two of you. It can get as big as a bunch of people sitting around a dining table. It can get as big as a city. It can get as big as a country. It can get as big as a planet. And it can get as big as a solar system. But we're not looking at it with our eyes. But we can feel it. Some of you are feeling the energy. Some of you can sense an expansion in your space. That is the energy. That is us joining together and linking in these other dimensions with these very vast sources that want to help us, that want to be effective in our realm. Now, one of the things that they told me is that they can do a lot of things that would be quite amazing. They can stop earthquakes. They can stop a nuclear weapon. Now, I can't prove that. I can't prove that they can do that. But I can prove that they saved my sister's life. And those of you that have read my story know that my sister was about to die from cancer. This is when my own channeling experience first started. And I was still in an evaluation phase of what was going on for me. And I asked them, I said, can you help my sister? And they said they could. And my sister then survived this operation, which was supposed to be critical. And I thought that was coincidence until she had tests a few weeks later to see if the cancer had returned. And the nurse said, the cancer is totally gone, but there's something wrong with the test. We're going to have to test you again because her lupus disappeared. And they tested her again and again, and her lupus was gone. And lupus doesn't go away. So I had a miracle in my hands. The people that have been checking into our conference call regularly, many of them have had some phenomena happen in their life that something is going on beyond normal reality on this line. And so if you're checking in for the first time, I hope you will continue to come back and check this energy out for yourself. If you don't experience it the first time, you might the second, the third, or the fourth, but the energy is here. Too many people are having amazing circumstances happen as a result of being on this line. Now, let's go back to Edgar Cayce. I found a book that I was doing some original research on that had some of Edgar Cayce's readings in it, talking about, it's called The Politics of Hope. And these were some of his more obscure readings, more philosophical, more spiritual, not necessarily about health or directly about reincarnation. And when I found this book and I studied these readings and I compared them to the David Wilcock readings, it was one indication that I was on the right track, that not only did they have all the physical circumstances, but there was a resonance in both the channelings of both people that was remarkably close. So I wanted to read a short section from this book. Now, keep in mind, I'm talking about two different group souls. One of the group souls is identified themselves by the name the Ra Group, and the Ra Group is composed of graduates who had gone through this realm and now had a huge conglomerate in other dimensions that was helping planets with lower levels of evolution. And that the contention we're making is that it was the Ra Group who was speaking through Edgar Cayce, the Ra Group who is currently speaking through David Wilcock, the Ra Group who has been a major influence in our history in terms of religions, talking to prophets, and the Ra Group is one of those energies that's present right now on this line. And the other group, the one that was talking to me through my personal relationship through Daphne and Terry, is the Elohim group, and they describe themselves as being outside of this realm and not having had incarnations, being very able to beam. I use the word beam, and I don't know if it's the best word, but to project maybe light and love energy into this realm. And since both those groups have told me that they're on the line when we're doing these calls, that means that that energy is available to you right now if you can get out of the way to be open to it. I'll take a moment of silence before I go back to this book and let you get quiet and see if you can feel that space in your space. Okay, back to the politics of hope. This is a book about Edgar Cayce's readings. In one reading, and then they give the reading number, through 3976-8, we are told that it is typical of men to regard power as the necessary precondition for everything. Man's way is to accumulate power, money, fame, numbers, before attempting anything, and to regard the lack of power, especially the lack of monetary power, as a reason for delay and inaction. The human tendency is to regard oneself as powerless and ineffective unless backed by elaborate funding, prestigeful endorsers, or numerous supporters. This is a mistaken approach, Cayce tells us. We should instead start where we are, take in hand what we do have, apply what we know, not find fault, not find excuses, not put off any action until tomorrow. Those who look upon monetary conditions as a measure of success look in vain. Rather, we should fill the place where we are, and the Lord will open the way. Thus, 10 may save a city, even a nation, from destruction, or may keep the world intact. Now, that's a pretty amazing statement. 10 people may save a city, a nation, from destruction, or may keep the world intact. Those of you who have participated on this line regularly know that every so often we do something that I call a grid healing, where people go out in cars and they drive to locations in the city. And we're all on the line and we invoke these higher group souls, and we anchor light columns everywhere. And the energy is just amazing. Everyone can feel it. It's like we all become human lightning rods, and it's not an experience in your mind. It's you can feel the energy bouncing off of you and connecting with everyone else. And I believe that's how people save a city. That it brings a blanket of protection, not that a human can do, but these higher forces need anchor points down here. And so we become anchor points. Now, there are many, many anchor points besides the work of this group. And people don't have to know the words Elohim and Ra or group souls. And if they just say God, that's enough if their intent is pure. Another little thing in this book, let's see here. When two or three are gathered in my name, this is a Christian from the Bible, there I will be in the midst of them. Now that is a quote from the Bible, and then Cayce in his own readings amplified that. This means, whether in thought or in person, then come together in one mind, as one person, designated as one. here he's talking about the Bible and turning that into his own readings. My spirit beareth witness with thy spirit. Whose spirit? Now we're back to the reading. There is only one spirit of truth. There may be many divisions, as there may be many drops of water in the ocean. Yet they are all of the ocean. The communion of the spirit of the divine within self may be with the source of divinity. This is what is meant by the communion of saints, of those that are of one thought, for all activity emanates from the same source. And there is the natural communion of those who are in that thought. Thus the communion of saints means that all who have one purpose, whose thoughts and motivative forces are one, they communicate. Well, excuse me, I just stopped the phone from ringing. Whose thoughts and motivative forces are one, they communicate. Whether those in the material plane, in the borderland, or those that may be upon the shores of the other side of life. Let me read that again, because that is Edgar Cayce describing just what I was talking about in my own words of what we're doing on this line. Thus, the communion of saints means that all who have one purpose, whose thoughts and motivative forces are one, they communicate. Whether those in the material plane, in the borderland, or those that may be upon the shores of the other side of life. So I believe that's exactly what we're doing here on this line, and that we are communicating with each other, communing with each other, and we're inviting the energy of those, what I call them group souls. If someone else has a problem with the word group soul, or if they have a prejudice against that, or if they have their own word for God, just substitute it. If they don't care, they just care that we connect and they connect with us, and that they can fill our hearts from the other realms right into this physical body. So, of course, that's Edgar Cayce channeling. And then, of course, we have David Wilcock channeling. I just thought I'd read one little paragraph from David Wilcock, and you might feel the resonance. You might feel the connection. Of course, everything comes through its own time, and it's going to be modified according to the time and the openness of society at that time. You are doing yourself and others an enormous disservice if you are still naive enough to think you have no role or responsibility in the creation of your conflicts. Once you achieve enough willpower to be able to claim that responsibility, you will find that it is impossible to harbor resentment for anyone, since all conflict is born of the illusion of having been abandoned by God. For many, this pain is still very present and can be easily touched off with the slightest of disturbances. Once you recognize you were never abandoned to begin with and are constantly surrounded by a multiplicity of beings who love you more than you could ever possibly imagine and are working diligently to make you see it, then self-realization and unity consciousness is the only responsible choice that remains. Okay, this is the Ra Group speaking through David Wilcock. There has never been a greater time in the entirety of your human history as this moment now. Every action that you perceive and perform in your daily life and your larger global life will be forever remembered. As we speak, the actions that you go through are indeed being recorded on the skein of space and time by the pen or the quill of the Christ Self. Revealed through your own inner desire to perfect yourselves in light and love. We eagerly await you coming to the throne of the divine and signing your name in the Akashic Records and completing your obligation to the third density and freeing yourself to the greater works that unfold before you in the glory of the new tomorrow then made in today. We are there with you as you think about these things, and will be available if you need further assistance. And I'm just going to repeat that. We are there with you. They are there with us. They are saying they're with us. They can be your companion. They can project their energy into your space. Thank you for sharing this moment of grace, joy, and beauty with us. And remember that you are loved more than you could ever possibly imagine. Peace be with you in the light of everlasting love. That's just a brief excerpt from the David Wilcock channeling. Now, I have two excerpts that we're going to play. I hope Seth is getting ready. I'm giving some warning. Sometimes he screws up on this. And Seth, we're going to play that one piece that I marked, the different destination of souls. Don't play it yet, though. Let me just introduce it. According to these sources, our planet is in the midst of a dimensional shift. And something is going to happen that's unusual in the evolution of our souls in this particular lifetime. And they're describing that there's going to be a division of souls, and we've said this many times, those souls that graduate into this new earth, this higher dimensional earth, and those souls that are cycle repeaters. So that is a bit of a simplified understanding of it. And I asked the question to Terry about being more specific about how that division works and how souls figure out which way to go, and they gave a very interesting answer. So, Seth, are you there? Can you play that? This is the MP3 file on the destination points of souls.
Regarding this dimensional shift, there's been a couple of things I've read, including from books the Elohim has recommended or endorsed, which indicate that in this transition that's going to occur, there's going to be different destination points for different soul entities. And in fact, it may be a myriad, because some may just go to their original planet or their original source. Some may stop at the higher level Terra, and some may choose to come back to Earth, and some may not. But one of the destinations was that there's going to be a certain amount of beings who are disconnected from their soul matrix, and they end up, their light energy gets back reintegrating with the one light, and they lose their ability to individuate in the future. Is there truth to that?
There is many answers as there are beings. One may, as a being, identify more with one destination, one group, and to flow with that group. If someone has become a barnacle, given up, and only can see his barnacleness, then he will not be able to attach to a soul group or a matrix that is flowing, and he may be carried along by the surrounding soul matrixes as a barnacle, if you wish to call it that. If a being is a being of its own, just entirely separate as a total entity, he also may be carried along and wrapped up in the energies as his subconscious has deep roots into the consciousness, the group consciousness of the planet, of the individuals on the planet. This may be enough to carry him along with the entities that are of that level of his consciousness as he unconsciously identifies with them and then would be carried with them.
You're talking about cycle repeaters now.
Yes.
The people who would be going to another planet to repeat cycles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't identify with that group, then that would be the circumstance where he would cease to be an individuated entity.
Whatever he identifies with, he will be attached to that solution or that place or that energy. If he identifies with no one, which is very hard because everyone has some roots or some carrying along with the energies, he may go with the wind and the fire and then become a part of the resultant energies of that particular area or group. For instance, if there were a solar flare and his body was destroyed, he may become very panicked and distraught and object to many to be carried along. He may fight with a vision for his body. He may become totally disoriented, and as so he may be unwilling to identify, although his unconscious identification will carry him along. He then may become identified with others that are so grouped and disoriented, and they would seek solace together in their desperate clinging to find a home base. They then may dislodge and become lost, as some beings have been lost in space for millions of years and unable to find a group or identifying home to go to. This is the reason that love and open heart and the faith of the light and the love of the light will carry people home, as they will have a new vibration, a very high vibration of love to identify with. As they identify with that vision, they will be carried home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know that was a little soft for the people on the telephone line. And just to reiterate, what they were saying is that when you die, you go where your energy flows, and that when you have the flow of love and connection, that pulls you to the highest levels. I'm sorry that was not louder, and I think I submitted that to Seth a little bit low. The next channeling is quite a bit louder. And this is Daphne, and this was when we did a grid healing in New York, and the Elohim greeted the group that was on that healing. And I remember when we did this, we were in a motel in Long Island, and as you guys know who have been checking this out, it's never predictable when Daphne is going to be available to bring this through. We never plan it. And this was one of those times when she said they wanted to talk, and this is what they said. So go ahead and play that, Seth.
We greet you in the name of the one infinite creator. This is the Council of On, of the Council of the Elohim. And we wish to share with you this day our great, great joy in seeing such enabled people with such pointed directives, anchoring their Christed selves directly into the consciousness of Mother Gaia. We perceive the unity, a unified field being built through this group, and we see it growing stronger day by day, week by week, month by month. As you gradually transform yourselves, your environments, your families, you impact also the physical locale of your place of residence, your places of travel, your places of vocation. And by pure loving intent, produce a vibratory field which uplifts and enhances and dispels negative influence from all those whom you come into meaningful contact with. We perceive you at first as pinpricks of light, but those pinpricks are growing ever stronger, ever brighter. First as incandescent bulbs, then as focused halogen lamps, then in some instances, and we shall call a name, and we hope not to embarrass this individual, those as Terry and as Gino, as focused lasers, which we can see almost all of the time. This is our wish for you, that you become as focused lasers, aiming at all times towards each other and towards the Christ grid of Gaia, for she indeed evolving, for she indeed ascending, and you are the propelling agents. You are the rocket boosters pulling this energetic to take place. Can you still hear us?
Yes, we can.
We sense disruption in our environment. For the individuals involved, we would ask that they take a moment every day of their own choosing, be it 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and quietly, in the silence of their own sanctuary, connect with us. Ask for our help. Ask for our intervention. Ask for our blessing. For we are indeed ever present and ever availed to you simply by your request. We bless you. We thank you. And we would like to end this with a gratitude, with a thankfulness, with a loving hopefulness of that which you are in the process of creating. For you are indeed extensions of ourselves, and we were once, you are now. We send infinite and help and infinite patience. We shall end this with an open.
energy field, a group energy, and we invite those group souls that are positive, that are operating in service to others, to join with our energies, and we can feel our expansiveness as we create this huge ball of energy. We surround our planet with it right now. And each of you is very important in this process of anchoring this energy in the particular location that you are in. Take a moment, and if you have any people that need help, need healing, need light, put them in this energy. And I'll just take a brief moment of silence.